Most of us are likely somewhat familiar with a few of the letters in the New Testament. Paul's letters to the Corinthians and Romans, but then squeezed in all the way toward the back of the Bible, there are these three little letters from John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And they may feel to us a little less familiar, but really in 1st John alone, we have some of the most well-known scriptures in all of the New Testament. These were letters written to encourage believers in really difficult times, written to clear up any confusion about what's central and what's non-negotiable to the Christian faith. And John makes it clear. He makes it clear here that it's love. It's love that's central and non-negotiable. It's the focus all throughout the letters. And so this is the message still for us here today, for believers everywhere to hear and to take to heart. And so we're reading today from the first letter of John from chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. All you need is love, right? The Beatles say. Or can you feel the love tonight, as Elton John asked in his famous song, or Waylon Jennings. Waylon Jennings, he said that we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Or what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And that song's been stuck in my head for a week and a half, and now I've given the gift to you. You're welcome. These are just a few of the songs that have been huge hits at one time or another. I bet we could come up with a few dozen more just like it. I read an anthropologist once asked a Hopi Indian in Arizona why so many of his people's songs were about rain. They were about rain. And the Hopi Indian, he replied, because water is, it's so scarce. And then the Hopi Indian, he asked the anthropologist, is that why so many of your songs are about love? God is love. God is love, it says here in 1 John. Love one another, it says, because love is from God. Of all the things that need be said about God, about who God is, about what that means for us, about who we're called to be as Christians, in this letter, in 1 John, the message is clear and direct, straight to the point, no beating around the bush here. Of all the things that could be said, how powerful God is, how incredibly awe-inducing God is, how perfect and holy God is. All true, but no. First things first for John here, it's love. Beloved, let us love one another, he says. And whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. There's a story, maybe just a legend, about the Apostle John, the writer of this scripture on love. And it said that toward the end of his long life, he would often sit down and he would teach young disciples about all that Jesus said and all that Jesus did for hours at a time. And one day, one of the disciples complained to John, saying, "John, you always talk about love, about God's love for us, about our love for one another. Why don't you tell us about something else besides love?" And John, the disciple who once laid his head upon the heart of Jesus, he said to have replied, "Because there's nothing else, just love, just love. Love one another." It seems like something we've probably heard 1,000 times before, but really it's being said here again for a good reason. Certainly these words, so direct to the people, almost harsh, the believers need a wake-up call. They need a reminder about who God really is, what this Christianity thing is really all about. You can't just go around claiming that you love God. That's only half the picture. If you don't love one another, John's saying, then clearly you don't know God, because God is love. There is in this passage, it's a clear, really clear relationship with the Gospel of John. They are connected, to be sure. You can read in our passage from 1 John that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. You can almost hear the Gospel of John 3:16. It's like he's reciting Jesus here, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. This is so often one of the first scriptures many of our Sunday school kids learn. For God so loved the world. It's a good one. It's like a summary of the gospel. But then in 1 John, John takes it upon himself to help remind us about what's important about this scripture, what it means for us as Christians. It means something for us, for the world. God so loved the world, he sent his only Son. What does that matter now? Why do we need to hear that again? And then John says here, Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. There is a cause and effect relationship. God loves us, so we love others. Is a clear command to love one another here. It's not a request. It's repeated all throughout the New Testament, this command to love one another. What is interesting here, though, I think, is what comes first for God. What comes first? First, it's that God so loved the world. It's not that God so loved the good people or the righteous or the religious people. It's just God so loved the world. In this passage, John begins simply with the word beloved. He calls us first by the name of beloved. He says this on purpose. In the NIV translation, that they actually begin the passage saying, "Dear friends," instead. Which is, it's nice, certainly, but it misses something important. He calls us beloved, you who are loved by God. This comes first. God's love is first. And it sounds a little strange to our modern ears. This really isn't how the world's supposed to work. Surely there's some expectations, or surely we have to sign something or agree to these 10 points of sound Christian doctrine, and then maybe, but no. It has nothing to do with what we've done. This is just who God is. God is love, and you are beloved. This comes first. Soren Kierkegaard wrote a prayer that expresses this beautifully. He said, "You have loved us first, O God." Alas, we speak of it in terms of history as if you've loved us first but a single time. Rather than that, without ceasing, you have loved us first many times and every day and our whole life through. He says, when we wake up in the morning and turn our soul toward you, you are there first. You have loved us first. If I rise at dawn and at that same second turn my soul toward you in prayer, you are there ahead of me. You have loved me first. When I withdraw from the distractions of the day and turn my soul toward you, you are there first and thus forever. Beloved, beloved, this is who we are. He doesn't miss a beat before launching right into what's next. Let us love one another. But first, we are beloved. We are the loved. And the rest follows. The rest follows only because of the first. As it says here in 1 John, we love because God first loved us. The way that loving each other can be made possible is because of God's love for us. When we live in God's love for us, we abide in God, and God fills us up with spirit and life and love. And by this, only because of what God's done for us, are we able to then turn and to love one another. We love because God first loved us. Because God so loved the world, we love one another. And when we love, when we reach out and when we let love slip out of our hands and to the world, we can be witnesses of God's love in the world somehow, incredibly, as broken and as fragile as we are. We can be signs that the love of God is here. We can make the love of God known here among us. This is first things first. Of all the things that could be said, let us love one another, John says, for love is from God. It's what the world needs. It's what the world is looking for, waiting for. It was in Chicago on a cold night, and a little boy was selling newspapers on the corner, and he was so cold, he walked up to a policeman and said, "Mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy could find a warm place to sleep tonight, would you? It's awful cold down the street where I've been, and it should be nice to have a warm place to stay." And the policeman looked down at the little boy, and he said, "You go down the street. You go down the street to the big white house, and you knock on the door, and when they open the door, you just say, John 3:16, and they'll let you in." And so the boy walked up the steps to the door, and he knocked on the big door, and a lady answered, and the little boy looked up, and he said, "John 3:16. And the lady said, "Come on in, son." She took him in, and she sat him down in the big rocking chair in front of a great big fireplace, and she went off, and he sat there a while, and he thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure makes a boy feel warm." Later, the lady came back and asked him, "Are you hungry?" And he said, well, just a little. I haven't eaten in a couple days. I guess I could stand a little food." And the lady took him into the kitchen and sat him down at a table full of wonderful food. And he ate until he couldn't eat anymore. And then he thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry boy feel full." And after a while, the lady came in, and she got the boy and took him into a room upstairs and tucked him into a tucked him into a big feather bed and pulled up the covers up around his neck and kissed him goodnight and then turned out the lights. And as he laid in the darkness, looking out the window at the snow coming down, he thought to himself, John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure makes a tired boy feel rested. Next morning, she came back up and she sat him. She brought him back down and sat him at that big table again, full of food. And after he ate, she took him and sat him down in the big rocker in front of the fireplace. And she got a big Bible and sat down and asked him, "Do you understand John 3:16?" And he said, "No, ma'am, I don't. The first time I ever heard it was last night when the policeman told me to say it." And so she opened the Bible and started to tell the little boy about Jesus, for God so loved the world. And he sat there and he thought to himself, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a lost boy feel safe. And the lady said, "You know, I have to confess, I don't understand it either, how God would be willing to send his own son to die for you and me, how Jesus would agree to do such a thing. I don't understand it either, but it sure makes life worth living." I read a list compiled by an author. It's a life is too short list about the ways that we have opportunities to love one another in this life. And it says life is too short to refuse to offer a kind word to someone who needs it. Too short to turn a deaf ear to someone who is hurting, and too short to pass by someone who needs a hand. Life is too short to withhold the word of life, too short not to pray for someone we know is in trouble, too short to neglect that note of encouragement we were meaning to send. Life is too short not to offer to babysit for exhausted parents, too short not to give your coworker a bouquet of flowers. Life is too short not to shovel your neighbor's walk, too short not to visit a retirement home for an afternoon, and too short not to spend a morning writing letters to people we love. Life is too short to let a week pass without hearing someone say, "Thank you, you really didn't have to." Beloved, you who are loved, we love because God first loved us. So let us love one another, living always as witnesses, signs of God's love in this world, for love is from God. Amen.